Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix, the podcast where we watch, review, and discuss every horror movie on Netflix. I'm Patrick, and I'm back, as always, with Allison with an I.
Hey.
And Allison with a Y.
Hello.
And we are here today to discuss a random Netflix movie that our diabolical cyber wheel of death chose for us. It's Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight 2. And Allison with a Y is going to get us started with a little synopsis of the movie.
Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight 2 is a 2021 Polish Netflix film that follows two police officers as they investigate a murder spree committed by a couple of horribly mutated people at a local campground. The officers are Adam, a lonely, awkward man boy, and his dismissive partner, Vanessa. Polish names are interesting, who he has a very uncomfortable crush on. Their police chief disappears while taking a young woman named Zosia, the sole survivor of the murder spree, back to the scene of the crime. At the campground, a meteorite deforms Zosia in the same way as the murderers, also giving her great strength and speed. She kills the chief. Adam and Vanessa investigate, calling upon the assistance of a couple of Nazis to help them hunt down the mutated Zosia and encountering survivors of the original attack along the way.
Yeah.
A Polish horror film. Mm-hmm. This is a first for me.
Same.
Interesting. I can't think of any Polish horror films I've seen, which is not to say that I haven't, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. Not sure I've seen a ton of Polish film in general.
Yeah.
I will say, I think the Polish make a good horror film, like visually, at production quality wise. I was really surprised.
Yeah.
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 I don't know why.
Production was good.
It looked decent. It felt filthy and disgusting and desolate throughout. This is a shitty little small town. The police station is falling the fuck apart. The eye is always out in police or policia or whatever it is Policia. In Polish. Policia.
Policia. Yeah.
This campground is disgusting. The everything's disgusting. It just feels nasty, and you understand why Adam, our protagonist, seems so depressed all the time.
Mm-hmm. I will say, the way that the Poles make hot dogs,
brilliant.
Wait, hear me out. Hear me out. I wouldn't buy a hot dog from that gas station. I wouldn't buy gas from that gas station. But the bun is tubular. And you put the condiments in the bottom, and then you put the hot dog in the tubular bun. That makes so much sense to me.
Allison, no. No, no.
I don't love the visual of stuffing the meat in the bun.
Right, hot dogs are sexual enough to begin with.
Right.
I don't need to, like, literally stick my hot dog dick in a bun vagina.
That is no different than, like, a corn dog, except somebody did that and then deep fried it. You just saw it. It happened off screen.
Exactly. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see the production.
We're referring to very early in this movie, Adam, this police officer, is ordered by his sort of shitty police chief to pick up hot dogs from the gas station on the way back to the station. And like I said, the gas station is also dirty and disgusting and is run by a dirty and disgusting man. I did not see a single source of heat in this hot dog production. Like, those hot dogs may as well have been cold. They request Thousand Island dressing on one of them, which I don't know. That may just be what Polish people put on hot dogs. I don't know. Or maybe it is supposed to be weird in the context of the movie. But yeah, they're just fucking tubular buns, and he squirts condiment into the tube and just shoves the hot dog in a violent way.
All right. This is not a hill I'm going to die on, but I will say, as a person who likes a hot dog at a ball game or at a cookout, I was like, that's fucking brilliant. Lay off me, you guys. Let's move okay. on.
You don't need to be perfect. It's fine.
Well, at our first cookout of the summer, we'll try and find you a tubular yeah. bun for your dog.
I'm bringing them. I'm going to make them myself. And then I'm going to watch while you two stuff them for me.
Oh,
as dutiful, no. dutiful hosts. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I feel harassed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about this uncomfortable crush that Adam has on Vanessa. Vanessa. The first scene is
amazing.
It didn't relate at all to the rest of the movie, but it was such a great introduction into like what we should expect from a Polish horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to describe the opening scene?
Yeah. He is like a vampire slayer and is in this big mansion, and there's this gala going on, all of these well-dressed people. It looks very...
16th century almost?
Yeah.
17th?
Technically 18th century.
Oh, okay. Like the big
1700s.
Wigs.
Think fops.
Yeah.
Yeah, the powdered wigs.
Yeah.
Very Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
Very Marie Antoinette. That's a great way to put it. And he's clearly not an invited guest. He walks in and we soon realize that these people who are quite literally masquerading as just the elite, the aristocrats, are in fact vampires. They have an offering of a woman in a white dress who turns out to be Vanessa, who's our first introduction to her. He slays these vampires in the most gory, badass kind of way.
Yeah. Loved it.
And then he wakes up and you're like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, the party's over.
Yeah. Oh,
the party's
yeah.
over.
Which was in English. And then I switched it to Polish language with English subtitles, but also him saying the party's over lined up with his lip
yeah.
movement.
So did he just say that in English?
I don't know. Maybe it was supposed to be like he's dreaming himself into like an American action horror movie or something. I don't know. He's supposed to be like a Hollywood badass, so he's speaking English in that moment. I don't know.
And he saves Vanessa. I guess I missed that part. He saves her, and she's forever in his debt, and they kiss, and
he wins
the girl.
That's his power fantasy.
Then he wakes up when we meet her in real life, and she's a fucking asshole. She's the biggest asshole.
I hate calling, like, using the term bitch negatively, but she was a fucking bitch.
Dude, you know, I actually was on her side. He was being so fucking creepy, like telling her she's pretty while she's trying to like
drive that wasn't
to the crime
okay.
scene and stuff.
But she also made a lot of dumb decisions.
Sure,
she was a bitch. Literally in my notes, Allison with a Y, I have Vanessa is a bitch.
She
and I had
is.
The same thought. I am so rarely anti-female character. You can almost do no wrong, but that fucking woman was evil. She was evil and she was an opportunist. More on that later, but she was a cold-hearted bitch.
Wow. Yeah, I was like watching it. I was like, is this – feels kind of misogynistic to write a woman character who is this like – irredeemable to me.
Yeah, exactly. I liked Adam. I thought he was a sweetheart. I think, okay, I can see that he was being creepy to her, but I just didn't get like a creepy vibe from him. I didn't feel like I would be creeped out by him. I don't
right.
know. Hmm. We're also desensitized to creepy men, and he was way less so creepy than a lot of creepy men I know.
Yeah.
So.
He was a softie, and
there was no aggression, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just bored and lonely, really.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't digging the incel vibe, regardless.
I didn't think he had an incel vibe.
I didn't either. I didn't read that way.
Okay, so how I read that was that he was a very emotional, empathetic man who's been put down a lot in his life. For that, and Vanessa, like, is also another person, not saying that she owed him anything, but I think she was mean to him because he was a little sensitive, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, agreed. Wow. Agreed. I don't think she thought he had what it took to be a police officer.
Yeah.
And reminded him of that constantly, which was why he was their little office peon fetching them delicious looking hot dogs with orange juice. Might I add with orange juice.
Wait, do you want Thousand Island dressing on your hot dog too?
Disgusting. But you know what I noticed? he got to the gas station and couldn't remember the name of Thousand Island Dressing, so he called it Seven Island Dressing. And I'm like, what was the point of that? Like, I don't know.
Did you watch the English dub, or was that the subtitled version? I don't think I remember that.
It was the subtitled version.
Oh, okay. I guess I missed that then.
It just was a moment that I'm sure meant nothing, but
Seven Island Dressing, huh?
Gave me pause.
How did you all feel about dropping into this mid-franchise? You know, like we said last episode, the Amon kind of the rule has always been, if a sequel comes up, we just watch the sequel.
Yeah, it worked for me. It was like one of those sequels that I don't think you needed to watch the first one.
Yeah.
I felt like it dropped you in and set everything up well where you didn't need previous context.
Yeah, I didn't feel at a loss for really understanding anything that was going on.
What about you?
Yeah. So I felt the same. I at first was a little bit nervous that I was going to miss a ton of context and therefore like not be able to have a, you know, coherent discussion about the movie. Absolutely not the case at all. I felt like, you know, the movie wasn't, it's not an overly serious movie. So mm-hmm. It's not like you're missing, you know, huge moral themes or big, you know, big brained ideas. So that had it going for it. I think had it been any deeper, you might have felt that way, but not a problem at all.
Yeah. The opening sequence I want to go back to for a minute because it was fun, but also, did y'all notice the CG blood squibs, which is such a common like cost cutting measure in modern filmmaking? But Allison with an eye is looking at me in some confusion. So I mean, blood, just basically adding CG blood, like any time somebody's head exploded from getting shot, it's just a big CG thing, and it looked bad. You can do that well, but they were doing it cheaply and it looked cheap, and the gun smoke looked cheap and bad, and it was really taking me out of what was otherwise like kind of a fun gonzo dream scene that opens this.
I thought it matched the tone of the film great.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It didn't bother me at all.
Same.
None of those things bothered me at all, because this is a film like you can't take it too seriously. You know, it's And, you know, I think as a person who watches so much American-made horror, you know, we have huge budgets for these types of movies. Our standards are a bit higher. You know, our expectations are a little higher. I didn't know what to expect from a Polish horror movie. I don't know how much budget they have. I can't imagine it's as much, just inherently.
Right.
That did not bother me. I thought the gore was fantastic.
I think there's other gore in the movie that is done better for me. It's just, what I love about gory movies is the invention and the craftsmanship that goes into creating the gore scenes. And so I love particularly, of course, a practical gore effect where I can marvel at how they did it. Or at least, even if you are doing it cheaply, back in the day, they would do this with buckets of fucking just fake blood. And that's what stimulates my mind the most about this kind of scene. I mean, certainly the shock value plays into it too, but I get most excited at seeing someone execute something well. And it's just, it loses the shock factor and the fun factor for me when people are trying to do this type of scene, but just doing like this really kind of super quick digital shortcut to creating that. And it takes me out of it.
Interesting. I think it helps me. The less realistic the gore is, the better I can handle it.
Interesting.
I struggle so much with like realistic gore. It really churns my stomach. And this I could handle much better because it didn't look real. So it was much better for me to like be in it and like enjoy the story without like squirming in disgust too much. Like there was the fun like, oh, but not like the, oh my God.
Yeah, totally. It was a slasher, right? It's more slasher than like a bone tomahawk, you know?
Right.
It's a weird mixture of things.
Yeah.
It's slasher, it's like monster movie.
It's a genre mash.
There's vampiric elements. It's a genre
mash. Like it really is.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here.
I kept getting vibes of like When Evil Lurks. Have you guys seen that movie?
I still haven't. I've heard it's no. amazing.
Oh boy. Okay. So disregard. When Evil Lurks was a much higher quality film, in my opinion, but the vibe felt the same to me. They felt like cousins. But there's no way that I can discuss it at any more length with the two of you because you haven't seen it. So fuck off.
Interesting. Okay. All right. We fucking will. The remainder of the episode will be Allison with an eye monologuing about Nobody Sleeps in the Woods. Also, I keep forgetting the fucking title of this. I keep being like, don't sleep in the... What is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight.
Two. Yeah.
It's a mouthful.
A mouthful, yeah.
Yeah. I started doing... I flashed back to a previous Amon movie at first and started looking for There's Someone Inside Your House, too.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know if that there was a sequel to that movie, but it's just it's a long title. Anyways.
I hope not. I read that book and watched the movie and both were a little YA for my taste.
Mm. I did not read the book, but the movie was yeah.
We don't Yikes. Need a repeat of that one. We don't need no. a second one.
No. So okay, maybe we can agree on this. I did like Zosia. I didn't like yeah. Adam. I didn't I'll vouch for Vanessa over Adam, but I liked Zosia.
Yeah, I cool. like Zosia.
Sure.
Which version of Zosia?
I just have neutral feelings on Zosia.
Oh, okay. I just thought, like, she was clearly, like, wrongfully, I guess, incriminated for the killings from the previous movie, even though they had also arrested the mutant redneck guys who clearly were the killers in the first movie. Mm-hmm. And so I had sympathy for her ordeal and just found her kind of an enjoyable, scrappy character. And then she very quickly turns into a mutant herself, but still retains most of her personality and such. And I enjoyed yeah. her as a mutant even more than as a human. Mm.
Yeah, I think as a human, there was some – you could empathize with her. Like the chief was just terrible to her. You yeah. know, he brings her back to the scene of the crime and he was just disgusting and manhandling her and just yeah. absolutely no rights. And she's a woman and she's, like you said, Patrick, you know, not presumed to have – not convicted of having done anything wrong. So I liked her right away because I hated the chief and I felt for her. But I mean, as she became –
He handcuffs her to a fucking bed while he goes to take a shit at the yeah. crime scene.
Yeah.
Which, wild. I mean, you know, whatever. It's all, a screenwriter's going to write what they need to write to make the movie happen. But it was still just an absurd and atrocious choice.
Yeah.
I liked her. I liked Zosia more as she became more of a mutant. We'll just say that.
Like, yeah. As she got more feral. Yeah.
She got so feral.
Mm-hmm. This is like a fairly funny movie and I wasn't expecting that.
Same. I was Same. Like do and it would make sense. I'm like, to just like Polish have like really dark humor, like, you know, which I guess makes sense.
Well, and there's some interesting political stuff. I mean, we just came off of discussing the politics of Edo era Japan that none of us know anything fucking about, so let's talk about Polish politics that we probably know almost equally nothing about.
Right.
But, you know, the synopsis that I wrote for this referenced the Nazis that they bring in to help them take out the mutants. And I mean, okay, maybe they're not like straight up Nazis, but there's a fucking swastika prominently displayed on their wall in the first scene that we see them in.
Well, no, they're Nazis if there's a wall. Yeah. There's a swastika yeah. on the wall.
Yeah.
They're Nazi fanboys, at least, and that right. makes them Which Nazis is, by proxy.
Yeah.
Right.
Nazis by proxy.
Right.
Nazis it was, by proxy. They were, you know, they were ridiculed for being Nazis, though, I will say that.
They were, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Like, they were mm-hmm. called, like, not trailer trash, but something. They were called, like, backwoods yeah. loser slobs, yeah. you know? Like, yeah. It wasn't like they were widely accepted, you know? The only right. reason they made the cut was because they seemed to have some skills with dealing with
killing people.
With killing people. With yeah. killing shit. With,
yeah.
So point them at some mutants. But they, and I mean, the script is definitely clear on we're not supposed to, like, the Nazis. Like, the Nazis are saying, like, hashtag territorial or something at some point, which reads clearly enough to me as an American, but I'm guessing probably hits harder and is a funnier joke if you're Polish, but also maybe not. I don't know. But there's also some interesting, I want to say there's a picture on the wall that says something about, like, Polish patriotism too at some point. I don't know. There's some interesting little nods to, like, Polish politics and history in here that I wish I had a better, grasp on. But it's suffice to say, I think it all feels pretty satirical.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that going back to this movie being a comedy, first off, when I went to start watching it on Netflix, it does say horror comedy, which had that not tipped me off, and had I not been looking for when the comedy starts, the comedy doesn't really start until, like, the second act, maybe even the third act of the movie. Would you guys agree?
I would say that there's nods and hints at the comedy before that, but it's not, like, a full-on horror comedy yet until that point.
Oh, I mean, I thought it announced itself pretty clearly with the party's over line right at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
But then it definitely does tone things down for a while before ratcheting up quite a lot in the final act.
Yeah. I did find myself truly laughing out loud unexpectedly at, like, 5 or 6 lines of this movie.
Like what?
Well, I think they're probably spoiler material.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so we can get to that. Again, because I don't think I started laughing until things happen that we shan't talk about yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that tracks. I mean, I don't know. Just even the way some of the characters are presented is pretty broad. Like the campground kind of park ranger type guy who shows up, who's clearly a character from the previous movie and doesn't last long in this one, is just, you know, first appears just bug-eyed, like, ranting on a couch as a camera, like, slowly descends towards him. It's over the top, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely has camp qualities, like, campy qualities to it.
Yeah.
But, like, better produced than a lot of, I think, American horror films that are supposed to be horror comedies.
I agree. I thought... Again, I walked away from this movie being like, the production value was totally there and I was not expecting it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was better than a lot of American horror movies I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just felt messy to me. It felt like a lot of things kind of Frankenstein into a shambling kind of mess of a movie to me.
Interesting. Why?
There's comic bits, there's not so comic bits. There's, you know, we talked about how many different, like, horror subgenres feel kind of shoehorned into this. There's bleak stuff, there's not so bleak stuff. The ending was very strange to me. I kept feeling pulled this way and that way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it didn't totally work for you?
No. Not to tip my hat to my review too much.
Yeah.
It was. I'll give it this. It was better than I was expecting. A movie called "Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight" to checks notes to confirm that that's actually the title again. Than I expected it to be, but it still doesn't seem to have wowed me as much as you two.
Let's review this thing so we can talk more about it because we are a little tongue tied.
Yeah, okay. I know. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how much I can really say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the vein of our view it, cue it, screw it rating system, Allison with a Y, how would you rate this?
I have to give it a high cue it. I had a really good time with this movie, particularly in the back half of it. I think the front half, I was between a screw it and a low cue it, and then the back half really sold me and helped even it out. I think if there had been... I think there was a version of this film that would have been a view it for me, but just because it took me until, like, the second half of the film to really, like, be like, okay, you know, being on its level, it's a high cue it. It was fun. It wasn't at all what I expected. by the end of it, I was like, okay, I mostly enjoyed myself during that. And I think, you know, I think it's worth a watch if you're looking for kind of a fun, campy horror comedy. It's worth checking out. Patrick.
I guess I'll go cue it to probably a bit of a lower one for me. I also really enjoyed most of the third act. It gets pretty crazy. A lot of stuff that I didn't expect to see going into this movie. That said, and obviously we're going to get into a lot more detail about this, but that third act came to such a weird and sudden stop that, again, it kept feeling like they were writing their way into a paper bag with this and then kind of writing their way back out of it. And they had done that enough for 90 minutes and it was like, all right, well, let's just stop it here. It felt a little slapdash to me in a way that was frustrating, but there is enough weird, audacious, funny, mostly successful stuff in this that I can give it a cue it. How about you, Allison, with an I?
I have to give this a view it.
Wow.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know what it was about this movie, but I really, really enjoyed it. I think, I think, again, didn't know what to expect. Loved the gore factor. Was so glad that they didn't skimp on that. Loved the look of these mutant creatures. Mm-hmm. And thought they were scary. And appropriately mutated for what it might look like, you know, like the realism factor wasn't really there for me. It didn't need to be there for me, but I didn't think it was too much or too little. And then when I started laughing, like genuinely laughing, I was like, I was not expecting to be laughing out loud at this. Like, I thought the funny parts were funnier than some of, you know, bullshit American-made rom-com shove jokes in your face that you're supposed to laugh at. Like, I just can't with some of those movies. I was like, this is fucking funny.
Yeah.
You know? I will be watching the first movie.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, I will not be watching it, so I'm curious to hear your report.
Yeah. Are you going to watch the first one? Why? What do you think?
I don't know. I'm torn. I kind of feel like I should now. Because, I mean, I did enjoy it. Like, where I'm like, okay, if the first one has at all a tone like this, then, like, yeah, I kind of want to watch it.
Like, why not, right? I'm realizing as I do more episodes with you guys that I don't really have like a standard. I just like what I like. I know nothing. Don't listen to me.
That's a good way to be, I think.
I don't have a standard.
I do not have a type.
Oh, well, God bless. Well, we're going to go to the, where are we going today? The spoiler
cabin?
Police station? Cabin?
Police station.
Spoiler ambulance?
Yeah, spoiler ambulance. Yeah, the spoiler roombulance. To spoil everything about Nobody Sleeps in the Woods tonight, too. Just check the title again to make sure that I had it right. But before we go there, I will remind you, as always, to visit our no longer broken website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. You can find all our episodes there, as well as a link to our merch store where you can get shirts and coffee cups and hoodies with Every Horror Movie on Netflix art on them. You can also find us on social media.
On YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky at Amoncast, EHMONCAST, and the good old TikToks at Amon Podcast.
And we also have a beautiful Discord community. There's a link to that on the website and in the show notes. And you can talk with folks from all around the world there about movies that we review on the show and other horror stuff that you're watching or reading or enjoying outside of the little lifestyle that is this podcast. Lastly, if you enjoy that lifestyle that is this podcast, go tell people about it. Leave us a review on your podcast provider of choice. We love to see the feedback and it helps people find the show. All right. spoiler ambulance is a leaving and we are jumping in the back. We will see you there to spoil everything about Nobody Sleeps in the Woods tonight, too. All right, we have jumped into the spoiler ambulance, and we are ready to spoil everything about Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight 2. I did it without even looking at the title that time.
Good nice. Job. We're so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So what happens? I mean, like, honestly, this is sort of early, but we haven't talked about it yet, and it is one of the most shocking moments of the movie. One of the Nazis cuts his own hands off in his own bear trap.
Which, man, as soon as I saw them dragging out the bear traps, it was like a limb's about to get chopped off from that.
Of course, but I just didn't expect it to be that soon. Mm. I was like, oh, there's no tension here. It's just, it's Chekhov's bear trap that immediately goes off.
Oh. It was so stressful watching that, being like, what's gonna be the thing that sets it off?
Interesting. Oh, it happened.
Yeah, immediately. This actually was one of the funnier things in the movie to me. I think I actually did laugh out loud because when you see it snap on his hands, and I don't think you see him again until he like wanders back to the rest of the group just with nothing left, just his bloody stumps. Wrist, just like staring at his stumps. I don't know. That just made me cackle.
That was my first laugh of the movie too.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And you love that for them. I love that for them. You know, like that's what you get for being a Nazi by proxy.
All Nazis deserve to have their hands chopped off in a bear trap.
By their own bear trap. Yeah.
So that's how we feel here.
Yeah. And Zosia kills the other one.
Yeah, a little bit later, but yeah.
Yeah, Nazis don't last long. Let's put it that way.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So I'm down with the Polacks.
Yeah, exactly. So they go into this camp, this campsite, and there's an ambulance. We see that has tried to come to the aid of. Oh, I guess they call the ambulance, right? They call the ambulance for the Nazi brother.
Yeah, and the ambulance is like, we'll meet you at the campground.
That's right. And they get there, and the ambulance has just been completely decimated. There's just blood, body parts everywhere. Ooh. They realize that no help is coming. They are the help.
They are the help.
And they're stuck in this cabin, and then we meet that other woman who, she had some funny one-liners. So she had been hanging out with the guy who lived in the cabin. And they were canoodling or whatever.
Uh-huh. Apparently, she's a sex worker.
And she was a sex worker, but I like,
loved her.
Was she
literally a sex worker?
That's what I read online. I think you were supposed to understand that from the first movie. Okay. I don't think it's stated in this movie, but I think that's context from the first one.
I liked her too, but remember she and one of the other the Nazi brother were throwing insults at each other, and he was like, at least I'm not a hooker. And she's like, you have a tiny dick. Yeah. And then they like a few minutes later, like apologize to each other. And she's like, it's not that small. And he's like, it's honest work what you do or something. And you're not that ugly. It was just so ridiculous.
But everybody, last long.
She doesn't last long, dude. Nobody lasts long in that cabin.
No.
Yeah. Nazi 2 gets taken out. She gets taken out both by Zosia.
The park ranger guy gets taken out.
Yeah.
I think that's what he is.
And then comes the moment that made me go from being like, Vanessa's a bitch to fuck her.
Dude, fucking same. Because they have this moment between, so it's just Vanessa and Adam, and it's just the two of them, and she's been screaming at him. He's been like, she's been calling the shots, and she's been like, we have to do it this way. And he's like, no, we need to hunker down and wait for the feds to come, or whoever, like the hierarchical, you know, police squad are coming.
And frankly, her choices have gotten people killed.
Right.
Like, so she's been reckless.
Where he's yelling at her, she's yelling back at him, and then she eventually apologizes, and you have this tender moment with her where you're like, okay, she's admitting that she was wrong, she's done her best, and then, take it away, Allison with a Y.
Okay, so Zosia shows up, throws the lady's head at Adam and Vanessa, and there's this oh fuck moment. Zosha's here, and Wanessa fucking pushes Adam right at Zosha and then makes a beeline out, takes the ambulance and leaves, and you're like, fuck, Adam is a goner. And I was so mad because I'm like, this guy, he's so sweet. He's a little dumb, sure, but he's doing his best. Like, he's got a tender heart.
I cannot believe
he doesn't deserve this.
I cannot believe this Adam apologism.
You know what? I think you need to get to the bottom of what really bothers you about Adam, Patrick, because I think it's a you problem.
I just feel like it's reading too much into Adam to say he's so sweet and whatever.
But he talks about empathy and how, like,
and he gave her water. Remember he gave her a glass of water when she was locked up?
Yeah, when, like, the police chief was treating Zosha.
That's
and
fine.
Jill.
That's fine. I don't know. I just, the weird crush stuff just creeped me out.
That's whatever. Everybody has a weird crush on somebody now and then. I've had a weird crush on people.
But he's clearly been kind to Zosha. And in that moment, we don't know what she's going to do to him. Mm-hmm. And she ends up converting him to whatever she is, sparing his life, I guess, in a way. It's like much like a vampire would make you one of their own instead of sucking your blood, which she does do. She kind of sucks
his, some weird phallic protrusion, comes out of her mouth, goes into his mouth.
It was phallic as fuck.
It was very phallic.
It was phallic as fuck. Yeah, it was a big, long, curvy penis.
Big, long, curvy penis that went right into his mouth and then did, I don't know.
Did something.
Did something.
It put its venom in there. Oh, yeah. It was like veiny. Remember? It was veiny.
And it had like a little pincher or like a little like stinger on the end.
It is fleshy.
It was a dick.
It's a dick.
Veiny.
Yeah.
It was veiny as hell.
Ain't no scales on this motherfucker.
Yeah.
But she converts him to what she is and starts kind of educating him on the cause, right?
Yeah, because like they still have like you find out here that as these monsters, they still have like human qualities. They haven't lost themselves completely to the monster. It's not like a zombie where like you're just a walking corpse looking to survive. They retain part of themselves, but then have these other motivations and these other desires to like hurt people,
and start an apocalypse
because there's so much pain and they've individually experienced pain. So now that they're this like kind of like super sort of creatures, they have the power to make others hurt like they did.
Yeah, and I think that's actually what. Something that I really liked about this movie is they didn't lose all of their humanity. Like, they lost all of their empathy, but they still had, like, a working brain. And I will say that Zosha kept implying that Adam would get more feral as the curse took over, as the poison took over, whatever it was. He still maintained some empathy.
He did.
But she maintained a sense of justice and a sense of what was right and wrong. And I think that's what I liked about this movie that felt different than a zombie movie, like you said, was they had a mission and it wasn't totally misguided. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite lines that made me laugh out loud is when they're sitting down having a conversation and she's kind of educating him on what they do, why they're doing it, what their mission is. And she's much more feral. She's lost all empathy, really. She said, "We kill people because we are monsters." And he says, "That's not really a complex motivation."
I loved that line, too.
There's a few very winking, self-aware, meta kind of moments in this. What is it at the end where he says something to her about, like, chase him, like they always go. It's almost like a Scream thing or something where it's very winking, like, yeah, of course they're going to go into the building that they shouldn't go into sort of thing.
Oh, my gosh. I laughed so hard at him learning how to be a monster. Like, she's teaching him how to scare people, and he doesn't have even a bone in his human body that is, like, malicious, right? But then he becomes this monster, and he's trying to learn how to be scary and intimidating, and he's like, ooh, I'm going to he's like, we should hide in the closet because that's what people would do. And then we jump out because that's what people would do. And he's like using every single horror movie trope, but he's like acknowledging that it's a trope.
Yeah.
Like everything a ghost would do, everything a zombie would do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to learn to like moan and roar. And she's like, you'll get it. You'll get it.
Yeah. Oh my God. When she's trying to teach him how to roar, that was so cute.
I did like the twist of, you know, my expectation was just that these mutants would be running around chasing down our protagonists for the whole movie. But I did like the twist that we wind up, you know, being expected to sympathize with the mutants, basically, and they become the protagonists, or the protagonists take on the form of what were the antagonists. That was fun.
Yeah.
Even if fuck Adam, hashtag team fuck Adam.
Whatever.
Hater. You're alone on that team, buddy.
Speaking of which, Zosha does fuck Adam after they both become mutants. There is an extensive mutant sex scene of their nasty ass fucking mutated bodies grinding against each other.
All I could think about was like, how long were they in makeup? Like, how many hours were they in makeup to get that full body nasty makeup job done? It was impressive.
Her boobs.
I mean, the boobs were horrifying.
They were so weird.
They were pointy little bullets.
And like saggy pointy. I can't. So
saggy pointy, but like really boobs. Stiff.
Yes.
It was giving Nosferatu sex scene.
Yeah.
It was giving, I have in my notes, in all caps, sex scene. Because I was like, oh, they're going there. And it wasn't a quick sex scene. It was long.
It was quite a while. There's a point where she's on top, and I don't know if this was necessarily part of the design of the makeup, but there was, like, very much some kind of orifice, like, kind of just above, like, her ass crack, basically, and it looked like another hole, almost, and I, like, wanted to call it, like, the coccissy or something, because it was right around the coccyx. And that's a thought that entered my head, and now it has to be in everyone else's now.
I didn't recognize that.
I really think the suit just kind of like puckered up in a weird way right around there. It may have been part of the intentional design. I don't know, but there was something going on there. Coccissy.
But they were falling in love, you know? Like
they were.
She was very lonely. She hasn't been a mutant for long. You know, we saw her change. She was lonely. There was the only, as far as we knew, the only two other mutants are still locked up in jail. Mm-hmm. So she's part of a very small group of, you know, aliens basically. And Adam was kind to her. She spared him his life and, you know, in return for living forever is whatever the fuck they are. But they were falling in love.
Yeah.
I like loved that.
It was cute. I found it very endearing.
Have y'all seen Warm Bodies?
I was just going to bring that up.
I have not.
Oh.
I prefer Warm Bodies when it comes to like falling in love with a monster kind of movie. Although Warm Bodies is a human
and a zombie.
Yeah, human woman and a zombie man.
Nicholas Holt plays a zombie who like slowly gains empathy.
Yeah. Because he's just like a brain dead, like, brain zombie. Yeah. And then love turns
he evolves.
Yeah.
Rarely do the zombies evolve.
And it's a comedy, very much.
Yeah, okay. I love it.
It was cute. I haven't seen it since it came out, but it was cute.
Yeah.
Well, so they have a plan, right? Like, they're going to go wreak havoc, and they're kind of doing vigilante justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vigilante shit.
Yeah, because she's just like, all right, you got to kill somebody. And he's like, well, can I, like, kill somebody who I think deserves it? And she's like, yeah.
So he goes and kills the guy for putting hot dogs in a tubular bomb.
No, he didn't.
No, the guy who happened to give him the hot dogs also was like abusing his dog. And so Adam didn't like that because Adam's a softy and a good guy inherently.
Yep. And an animal activist.
You can be an animal activist and an incel. They're not mutually exclusive.
Oh my God. But that's the guy he chooses. And that was fun to watch. That was the kill that he does, that he's like learning how to be scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cute because, like, before he even, like, goes into the house to kill the guy, he stands outside of the window just to scare him. And then he goes to Zosha and he's just like, he's never going to know if he actually saw something. So it's he's going to think about it and it's going to haunt him whether I was real or not. And it was so cute.
I loved all of it.
It was like the most wholesome monster moment.
Aww. Wait, one more. Hilarious thing when they leave this guy's house after Adam has made his first kill. There's the dog on the lead.
Yes.
And the dog starts barking and Adam and Zosha run over and they go, oh my God, hi. And Zosha goes, kill him. About the dog. And he looks at her and he goes, come on. And she's like, fine, whatever. And so he just lets the dog off the lead. But it's like hilarious moment. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was really charming. That was
like,
funny.
What a great couple they're going to make. Assuming he doesn't get any worse. I mean, he's going to get worse and become more feral. But they were just like this great yin and yang for the time they had together.
Yes.
Which didn't last long enough, in my opinion.
No.
Yeah, because they go back to the police station because they're like, okay, we should join up with others of our kind. So they want to reunite with the two mutants who were imprisoned earlier who, as far as we know, were the antagonists of the first movie. And from what we can tell, don't seem to be as, like, endearing or have as much personality.
They don't have any personality.
Yeah.
They go to try to wake them up, and they, like, couldn't wake them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Vanessa comes back to fuck shit up. And boy, does she.
Does she?
Well, I mean, she sets off a chain of events that is fairly catastrophic, at least for our protagonist.
Yeah, so yeah, Vanessa comes in. She tries to shoot him up.
She throws a grenade down the corridor of the jail, which fails to go off.
Yeah.
And becomes important in, like, something we'll discuss in, like, 60 seconds from now. Zosha flees the police station and gets immediately pasted by a fucking ambulance.
Oh, but before then, Vanessa gets hers.
Oh, her comeuppance. That's right. Yeah.
So Zosha wants Adam to kill Vanessa, but he can't. He can't do it. And so Zosha interprets that as Adam has like romantic feelings for her still, and Zosha gets really jealous, and she ends up literally ripping Vanessa's face off, which was horrifying. Yeah. That was so good.
I was so glad
I hated it. I hated it so much.
That bitch had it coming, though. You know it.
But then, like, that Zosha and Adam get into this fight where Zosha's like, you don't really love me. Like, she's, like,
she's
fully
so
jealous monster girlfriend. Like, if you really loved me, you would have killed her.
Yeah, I think her lack of empathy, she just wasn't able to see that, like, Adam isn't there yet. Give him a little while. Yeah. But he loves you. He loves you so much more than he ever loved Vanessa. This isn't about that. But, you know, there's no time to even reason with her because she runs outside.
She's upset. She's crying.
And gets flattened. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the face-ripping scene because I had briefly forgotten about it. And see that? I don't know. It's weird. The gore in this movie is all over the place because that works really well.
That seems
at least partially accomplished by practical effects. You know, like the penis tentacle thing we were talking about before looks awesome. However they did that, whether practical or digital effects. And it just stands in weird contrast to some of this CGI blood squib stuff that just didn't land for me at all. But there are also, you know, the bad stuff is also matched by some very good gore stuff. I don't know. Yeah. It's a little all over the place for me. Mm. But the face ripper scene went hard.
Yeah, it did. Well, so Adam sees Zosha get just decimated by the ambulance, and he's outside when I don't think it was ambulance. I think it was SWAT. It was the SWAT team that they kept alluding to was coming.
Right.
It was like the higher police. And the last scene is Adam sitting on the steps while the police station behind him finally erupts with the grenade that went off.
Because the stupid mutants in the cell set it off.
Yeah.
They're like fucking with it, and they finally managed to detonate it, presumably killing themselves and others.
Yeah.
And then Adam was taken into custody.
Yeah, there's this weird, like, the movie ends. I think it says the end, or it says, like, nobody sleeps in the woods tonight, too. And then it cuts to Adam in a lab having some gigantic needle stuck in his neck. I don't know. That's, and this is where I say, like, I was pretty into the third act. There was a lot of weird, like, Gonzo kind of stuff happening, and I liked this twist to, you know, the mutants being protagonists. And then it was all such an abrupt ending. I don't know what really was the meaning or what I should have taken away from Zosia getting just crushed and then Adam getting hauled off to be experimented on.
To me, it was just like adding to the horror comedy part of it. I don't know.
It was sad, though.
Like, you found it funny, or?
I think the abruptness was kind of funny in the sense that it was so jarring. You know,
I felt sad. I felt bad for Adam. I felt bad for Adam the entire movie.
I felt bad for Adam too. I don't know. I didn't care that much for Zosia, so whatever. But I felt bad for him. His heartache was really sad.
So I must have missed the part where he was being experimented on, because I did not see that last scene you're talking about.
Yeah, because you probably turned it off as soon as, like, it seemed to be over, which it does seem to be, and then it comes back for this really brief scene of him in a lab. Looking, of course, tortured and really upset, and somebody is putting, like, a needle, 18-inch long needle in his neck, and he's screaming, and then it cuts back to the credits.
I can only assume it was, like, setting it up for a third installment.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and watch that, because I missed that completely.
It's pretty brief, but
it's, like, 2 seconds, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, odd shit. Choice,
though.
Well, shit.
Well, shit. Are we going to sleep in the woods tonight?
No. Nobody is.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, that's Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight, too. And before we take our leave today, it is Allison with an eye's turn to tell us what we're watching next.
Okay. So my pick for next week's episode is a 2019 movie, In the Tall Grass.
Ooh. And just
Have either of y'all seen this?
I've seen it.
I have not. I really wanted to when it came out. I don't know. It was something I thought about watching many times over a period of months and then never did. Patrick Wilson?
Yeah, the greatest average actor, Patrick Wilson. <isn't it?
laughs> So I have seen this movie, to be clear, but it's been a very long time. This came out in 2019. The quick synopsis is, after hearing a boy's cry for help, a pregnant woman and her brother wade into a vast field of grass only to discover there may be no way out. The reason for my pick is I had very strong opinion about this movie when I saw it. We'll talk about that next time. But I just finished the book, the Stephen King book, because I was at a loss for other things to read. And I was like, I never read the book, saw the movie. So I want to rewatch the movie now many, many years later. So it's been, I haven't seen it since it came out. So it's what, six years ago. I remember mostly nothing about it. So I want to do a rewatch and I want to hear what y'all think about it.
Hell yeah.
Is this an epic Stephen King book or one of his shorter ones?
It's a shorter one. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe I'll.
Oh, you know what?
Before our next episode,
it is a book he wrote with his son Joe Hill.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that now.
Which is a fun.
Who I want to say, like, he directed the movie? Maybe.
Nope, he did not. Vincenzo Natali.
Oh.
Must be Italian. Who's Vincenzo Natali? What do we know about him?
Vincenzo Natali has directed multiple Hannibal episodes.
Oh, shit.
And we love Hannibal. Have you ever seen Hannibal,
The show?
The show? Yeah.
I think I've maybe seen one episode, but I've been wanting to get into that. Should I watch it?
It's so fucking good.
I think you would love it.
Okay, yay.
It's so fucking good.
It's
so fucked up and...
So fucked. So, like, campy. Yeah, very campy.
But also, like, so
dark, artistic,
epic, operatic, like,
oh my
colorful.
God. Incredible cast.
So queer.
Yay. Ooh, this sounds so good. Okay, yay. I needed, say less. I needed no more reasons to get into it. I'm like out of things to watch and I'm not jumping on the White Lotus bandwagon right now. I just don't feel like it. And I don't know. Yeah. I'm all things horror right now.
Oh my God. I can't wait to hear what you think.
He also directed, I want to say, Splice?
Yes, he did. I just looked it up.
Which was also solid, which we have done for the podcast before, too.
Well, yeah. I'm excited that you guys
are... Very interesting
are,
director.
Yeah, there's yet another angle to this movie that is, is makes you feel something.
And maybe if I have time, I'll read the book as well so that we can compare notes on that too.
I read it in like 3 nights, I think. It's short.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Perfect. All right. Well, that'll be next episode of Every Horror Movie on Netflix. Until then, check out the website, everyhorrormovieonnetflix.com. You can check out the merch store there, and you can also find us on most of your social media at Amoncast, EHMONcast, or TikTok at EHMONpodcast. Leave us a review. We love to see that feedback, and it helps people find the show. And also check out our Discord community where you can discuss Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight 2 with other Amon fans, and also start talking about In the Tall Grass before we discuss that next time. Until then, for Every Horror Movie on Netflix, I'm Patrick.
I'm Allison with a Y.
And Allison with an I.
See you next time.